There would have been a very limited franchise at that time, wouldn't there?
Yeah, there was. It was basically, I want to say, aristocracy for the most part. After 1832, there was increase. The 1832 Reform Act, which had been brought on by the reform movement the previous 2 years, allowed certain sections of the middle class and the mercantile class to gain the vote. And it certainly increased, and had in many ways the Chartist movement was the working class rump combined with, you know, a leadership class that were radical middle class people like Fergus O'Connor. In many ways, the reform movement had of the 1830s had appeased the middle class, certain sections of the middle class. Whereas the Chartists represented mostly working class people, which is why it's known as the first kind of working class movement. As I said, they desired to universal manhood suffrage, yearly parliaments, to reverse the negative effects of the Industrial Revolution, and in general kind of promote workers' rights.
And the Irish community in Scotland, how involved were they in this?
It's a very debated subject. Because of the role of O'Connell. Daniel O'Connell and Fergus O'Connor were probably the biggest enemies you can come across. I mean, they despise one another politically and personally. Fergus O'Connor had been a supporter of O'Connell in the 1820s, but they'd had a falling out over political and personal reasons. And Fergus O'Connor had, and O'Connell had basically ensured that Fergus O'Connor had been an MP, and O'Connell ensured that he did not keep his seat, and which promoted Fergus O'Connor to move to Britain and engage in radical politics there. O'Connell had blacklisted Fergus O'Connor and the Chartists for the Irish community. He had no interest in. And he very much desired Irish people to have nothing to do with Fergus O'Connor and anything he's part of. It wasn't so much they had a problem with the Chartists. They didn't. There was a similar group called the Universal Suffrage League, I think, which emerged around the same time. And they gave their full support to that, including the various points. The Chartists, basically, the reason why they had their name was they had a charter, which whereby they would gain a name, they would try and get a petition to petition the Parliament, and they had some basic universal rights or points which they had established as which the government should establish. And as I said, the points I already raised in regards to their basic ideologies were in those points. O'Connell had no problem with that. He did have a problem with Fergus O'Connor, and easily supported the Universal Suffrage League, which had the same points as the Chartists. So for the most part, I think it's been proven that Irish people were not en masse involved or members of Chartist movements or involved in them. However, there was some involvement, and certainly they could work together without problem, they would certainly be part of it. There is evidence that suggests that the Chartists, when there was not involvement by the O'Connellites, the leadership class of the O'Connellites, that Irish people were quite predisposed to the Chartists. There was just cases of about 500 rowdy Irish people being at Chartist meetings in Glasgow and shouting and hollering or whatever until basically the Chartists engaged in it, started talking about Ireland, in which case that their tune completely changed overnight, immediately, and they were yelling and supporting them and running up and hugging them. So I mean, it's I would suggest that it was, for the most part, there was quite a given the amount of illiteracy and the power that the O'Connellites, who were obviously quite in bed with the church at the time, had over the Irish population, that most of them didn't really realize what the Chartists stood for, but and they probably would have supported them if they did.
Now, we might just move on to the famine, and what effect did the famine and the new mass emigration of Irish people into Scotland, what effect did that have on the Irish community's involvement in wider political issues in Scotland, their involvement in radical politics and trade unionism, and also what was the feeling then towards the Irish community from the native Scottish community following the famine?
It had a huge, enormous effect. The Irish people that moved to Scotland, Jenny came from the same area, which was Ulster. It was about 90% in the main area of emigration between 1790 and the early 20th century came from Ulster. and it was about two-thirds were generally Catholic and about a third were Protestant. So in terms of where they're coming from hadn't changed, but the Ireland that they came from had changed enormously from the 1790s to the 1840s and 1850s. Radicalism within there was no longer a defender community. There was the previous agrarian society still existed, and now the ribbon men were dominant in the area at the time. They were much more of a nationalist kind of reactionary movement. They had their social side, and by all means they wanted to, you know, level the land, as it were, as much as the defenders, but they didn't have the Jacobin streak within them, which is what the defenders had, and the community, and hence what established community in Scotland. Also, there was enormous hatred and desire for revenge for what had happened during the famine, which is, you know, which is understandable. They'd seen their families starve to death, if not, you know, become diseased, and, you know, literally die on the march to a port to get out of Ireland, or in the fields of their home. So the Irish community arriving in Scotland were very, very angry.